Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for joining us for episode 401. Today, we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, May 19th, 2026. We've got a really AI-heavy episode today, which I know is a shocker for Hacker News, but there is some genuinely massive news.
We really do. Andrei Karpathy is officially off the market and has joined Anthropic. Plus, Simon Willison gave a fantastic recap of the last 6 months in LLMs. Google just dropped Gemini 3.5 Flash. Someone built an insane virtual museum of operating systems. And Apple is rolling out some incredible new accessibility features that might actually be a stealth test for something bigger.
Let us dive right into the biggest story of the day. Andrei Karpathy tweeted that he has joined Anthropic. The thread on Hacker News blew up over 1,200 points. For anyone who has been following the AI space, Karpathy is basically royalty. He was a co-founder at OpenAI, the director of AI at Tesla, and recently he's been doing his own thing, making these incredibly popular educational videos and tinkering with little side projects.
Right, and according to the details that came out, he is joining Anthropic's pre-training team. Specifically, it looks like he is going to be building a team focused on using Claude to accelerate pre-training research itself. Basically, AI building AI. Someone in the comments pointed out that this seems to be an extension of a project he was working on called Auto Research.
Yeah, and that sparked a pretty classic Hacker News debate. A user named Stingray Charles chimed in saying they weren't particularly impressed by Auto Research when it came out, arguing it was mostly just tuning parameters rather than trying novel approaches, basically an inefficient variant of hyperparameter optimization. But then another user countered that even an inefficient variant running on $100 million worth of compute will probably outperform the best team of human researchers.
That is the reality of scale right now. But the comments weren't all just technical debates. There's definitely a faction on Hacker News that is a bit skeptical of Karpathy's recent branding. A few people called him the vibe coding Jesus for deluded software engineers, which is a bit harsh, but they're pointing out that he's been heavily promoting this idea of just letting the AI write all your code.
There was also a really interesting thread about his time at Tesla. People were asking how he managed to not lose credibility after the whole full self-driving next year promises, especially the pivot to vision only without LiDAR. A user named Joe Mamba pointed out that Karpathy bailed right when the limitations of the LiDAR-less system were becoming obvious. But despite the critics, the general consensus is that this is a massive branding win for Anthropic.
Absolutely. And my favorite comment was someone wondering if Anthropic made him do a couple of leak code problems first. Can you imagine asking Andrei Karpathy to reverse a linked list on a whiteboard?
I am sure he would just ask Claude to do it, which actually transitions perfectly into our next story. Simon Willison posted his slides and notes from a lightning talk he gave at PyCon US 2026, titled The Lost 6 Months in LLMs in 5 Minutes. It got over 700 points.
Simon's recaps are always so good. Because the space moves so fast, we all kind of have amnesia. He pinpointed November 2025 as a massive inflection point, specifically for coding. That is when OpenAI and Anthropic's reinforcement learning efforts really started paying off, and coding agents crossed the barrier from being a neat trick to something you could actually use as a daily driver.
And he tracked how the crown for the best model changed hands 5 times in 6 months. We went from Claude Sonnet 4.5 to GPT 5.1, then Gemini 3, then GPT 5.1 Codex Max, and finally back to Anthropic with Claude Opus 4.5.
I love that his benchmark for testing these models is asking them to generate an SVG of a pelican riding a bicycle. As he points out, pelicans are hard to draw, bicycles are hard to draw, and there is zero chance any AI lab is putting that in their training data.
The comments on that were fascinating. Someone pointed out that this ridiculous metric was actually introduced in the original GPT-4 paper by Microsoft 3 years ago. But the broader conversation in the comments really zeroed in on the coding agent inflection point. A user named Quackafly said they literally stopped coding professionally in November because the agents got so good.
But of course, Hacker News being Hacker News, there was immediate pushback. Another user said they are trying to vibe code a game right now with a combination of Codex and GPT 5.5, and the models still really struggle to build a fully fledged application. They can get a bare bones prototype up, but that is about it.
There was also a slightly dystopian thread about companies forcing developers to use AI. people are finding ways to subvert the micromanagement by writing the code themselves and just having the AI write the tests or documentation to satisfy the corporate metrics.
That is so typical. But Simon also highlighted the explosion of open weight models, especially the Chinese models like GLM 5.1, which is a 1.5 terabyte monster, and the rise of Claws, those personal AI assistants people are running locally on Mac Minis. He compared them to Doc Ock's mechanical arms from Spider-Man 2, perfectly safe until the inhibitor chip breaks.
Speaking of new models, our third story is Google announcing Gemini 3.5 Flash. This one got 656 points. Google dropped it on their blog with all the usual frontier intelligence buzzwords, but the real gold for this story was entirely in the Hacker News comments.
Oh my goodness, yes. The napkin math in this thread was incredible. A user named EasyJeans, who apparently does model serving optimization, reverse engineered the likely specs of Gemini 3.5 Flash purely on the hardware Google uses.
Right. So we know Google serves this on their TPU 8i architecture, which has 288 gigabytes of VRAM. EasyJeans broke it down, assuming they are using a radix attention-style batched serving scenario to avoid tensor sharding overhead. Based on the memory limits and the target floor speed of 280 tokens per second, they estimated the model is around 250 to 300 billion total parameters, with only 10 to 16 billion active parameters.
And they pointed out it is likely a mix of FP4 and FP8 precision. It is just amazing that Google keeps the technicals a secret, but the community can basically deduce the exact architecture just by looking at the physical constraints of the server racks.
There was a great follow-up discussion about the economics of this. Someone asked why Gemini 3.5 Flash is so expensive compared to something like DeepSeek V4 Flash, which only costs 14 cents per million tokens. Google must be taking a massive profit margin on inference, right?
Well, a user named XMonkey chimed in and said they use Flash models extensively, and Google throws 503 errors 70% of the time on most days because they just cannot handle the demand. So the high price might literally just be Google trying to throttle usage because their infrastructure is melting.
And of course, Simon Willison showed up in the comments of this thread too. He ran his Pelican riding a bicycle test on Gemini 3.5 Flash. It cost him 13 cents for one image, and he said the Pelican looked like it was attending a crypto conference in Miami. Someone else said it looked like it lost 100 grand on NFTs and now runs a paid stock trading group.
I saw that image. It was wearing sunglasses at night and had these deep wrinkles. It definitely looked like it had been partying since 1992. But as someone pointed out, even though the models add insane amounts of detail now, they still mess up the basic geometry of the bicycle frame. They just hallucinate more complex parts instead of fixing the core structure.
All right, let us take a break from AI for a minute. Our fourth story is a pure labor of love. Someone built a site called the Virtual OS Museum, and it hit 651 points. The creator, Andrew, spent over 20 years collecting and configuring more than 1,700 pre-installed operating systems.
It is honestly breathtaking. You just download their custom launcher, and you can boot up everything from the 1948 Manchester Baby to the original Xerox Star to early versions of NextStep, BOS, and Plan 9. They are all pre-configured to run on modern machines via QEMU or VirtualBox without you having to mess with broken dependencies or weird emulator patches.
The nostalgia in the comments was palpable, but it also sparked some really deep technical history discussions. There was a whole thread about Apollo Domain OS. The museum features the Vue desktop from Domain OS SR10.4. And a user named Neil V pointed out that this is actually a bit misleading.
Yeah, he explained that the Vue desktop was more of an HP UX thing after HP acquired Apollo. The original Domain OS was incredibly unique. It was designed by people who were used to text terminals, but were suddenly given megapixel displays in mice.
Another user brought up how the terminal window in Domain OS had this wild feature where unconsumed type-ahead text was visible at the bottom of the screen, and you could actually edit it before the program read it. It's one of those lost UI paradigms that never made it into modern Unix or Linux.
Someone else asked why the PIC operating system wasn't included. They remembered running backups on a PIC system for a health authority in the UK in the 90s, which led to everyone discovering that the creator of the PIC OS was literally named Dick PIC. You cannot make that up.
Hacker News never disappoints. But honestly, huge props to Andrew for this museum. Preserving software history so that it is actually reachable and runnable, not just sitting on a dusty magnetic tape in a basement, is so important.
Definitely.
Okay, our final story today is from Apple. They unveiled new accessibility features, and the post got 627 points. On the surface, it is a great update. They are using Apple Intelligence to make VoiceOver and Magnifier much smarter at describing images and screen layouts.
They also added natural language to voice control. So instead of memorizing exact labels, someone with physical disabilities can just say, "Top the purple folder," or "Top the guide about best restaurants." And they added eye-tracking wheelchair control for the Vision Pro, which is genuinely life-changing technology for people with ALS or severe mobility issues.
But the Hacker News discussion took a very specific, strategic angle on this. A user named Jeremy Herman posted a brilliant comment about how Apple loves to stealth test new, paradigm-shifting technology in full public view by sneaking it into accessibility features or minor hardware changes.
Yes, this was such a good take. He pointed out that this natural language voice control is basically Apple debuting agentic AI. They are teaching the OS to understand abstract commands and map them to UI elements. By putting it in accessibility first, they get to test it in the real world without the pressure of a mainstream Siri launch.
He gave some great historical examples too. Remember the touch bar on the MacBook Pros? Everyone thought it was just a weird gimmick, but it was actually Apple's first step in the transition to Apple Silicon. The T1 chip that ran the touch bar was Apple's first custom Mac processor, and it let them test taking over power management and the secure enclave from Intel before they eventually launched the M1.
He also mentioned the SIM eject tool on the iPhone 3G. Apple made it out of liquid metal, this super strong custom alloy, just to see if their supply chain could handle manufacturing it at scale. And now, years later, they are rumored to be using it for foldable phones.
Even the Vision Pro was stealth tested. Reality Kit had 3D scanning and AR capabilities on the iPad for years that felt like a solution looking for a problem until the headset finally came out.
Of course, some people argued back that the Touch Bar wasn't a secret genius test. It was just about product that they eventually killed because pros hated losing the physical escape key. But the broader point stands. Apple is incredibly calculated. If they are letting AI parse UI layouts and execute multi-step actions for accessibility today, that is absolutely going to be the core of how we all interact with iOS in a year or two.
It is a really smart way to deploy beta technology. If an agentic AI messes up a mainstream Siri request, it is a meme on Twitter. If it helps someone who is visually impaired navigate a poorly labeled app, even if it is a bit slow, it is a massive net positive.
Exactly. Well, that covers it for today. From Karpazi's new gig and the evolution of coding agents, to Google's server melting flash models, retro operating systems, and Apple's stealthy AI testing.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 401 of HN Pod. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.